This hour is brought to you by Ravinia.org.
The Bernstein and Holmes Show.
Is Ryan Poles on the clock now?
We all know how big this draft is and what it means. I'm not here for that today. I'm here for, you wanted your extended quarterback clock? You got it.
You're the one that came up with the plan.
Did I come up with this
last night, dude?
I blacked out that night.
This is where it gets completely based on you and your decisions.
Well, not that I'm breaking any news here, but the head coach is clearly on the clock.
Our culture is awesome. We're focused where our feet are.
Stuff needs to happen in a very positive manner very quickly, which I do think puts Caleb Williams in a tough position because he should be allowed to learn. It's an outlier if a rookie quarterback does well, but no rookie quarterback has ever landed in the nest that this quarterback is landing in.
What are you doing? Aren't you supposed to be cooking for a Seder?
Yeah, I'm making soup.
All right, well, Dan has asked, and we will deliver.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh, my God.
Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 a.m. till 2 on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
I had a guy. Look, the question gets asked, and you know it's out there in the ether somewhere, and I had a guy. And now I got the scouting report on my guy.
Brock Bowers.
Brock Bowers.
Yeah. Maybe even trade down and get him.
I want him. That's a guy who you know is going to be really, really good at football.
Yeah.
Nobody's talking about this.
Nope. No, I'll tell you what nobody's talking about. As we broadcast live from the Hyundai studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. So we're all set today with Bears and Cubs and Sox and things and Ray Diaz and Adam Stadzinski and Brandon Fryer and Connor O'Donnell and Kevin Lapka and all that. Hey, thanks for being a part of poker.
Oh, thank you.
We had a terrific night on Thursday night waiting for final numbers, but a lot of thumbs up, a lot of smiles, a lot of good vibes, babe. You and Parkins and Spiegel and Shane Reardon and so many others who, what a fun night. And Mark Dumas, huge thanks to Mark Dumas for running the room and everything that he does as our longtime pit boss there. But, I mean, everybody with all the Camp One Step staff and volunteers and all the
volunteer dealers. And
it was great.
Yeah.
Just a terrific night.
So. Yeah, it was absolutely magical. Anytime that you get to do something like that, hearing the speech before, what was the young man's name?
His name was PJ.
He was great.
And
talking before the ceremony, the game started, about his experience with Camp One Step. It's really amazing stuff.
And that, you know, everybody's there to compete. It's a little reminder why we're there. And everybody was in good spirits. There were serious players. There were people there with WSOP bracelets.
I had a whole table of serious players. Like, there were no casuals in my table. It was enlightening.
And things got fun at the end. It got the final table got intense and exciting, and those blinds go through the roof. And
you got to make some choices.
You get your taco bar?
No, I missed the taco bar.
You had a s'more?
But I did get pizza.
Mm-hmm. Like, it's good. Yeah, I had a couple sliced pizza. Yeah.
I that was one of the things that I walked away going. I was like, you know, obviously you don't think of Galleria Marchetti as
they have a pizza oven. They have like their own little brick oven thing. Yeah.
Like that's what I was excited about because I saw them pull the pizza out of the oven. I was like, oh yeah, I'm getting me a slice of that.
I eat the pizza all by myself. Nobody else eats. Eat the pizza.
And the what they did with the Italian sausage, like instead of like a big old piece, they had it like crumbles.
Mm-hmm.
It was really excellent.
Yep, it was, and the whole night was great. And thanks to everybody involved for raising a lot of money to help a lot of kids who have cancer and leukemia. So we'll do it again next year. We're already thinking about, already setting plans, already getting excited for it, and stay tuned for more news.
Shout out to Keith from Shorewood. He wrote me a really nice card and got me free golf out somewhere in the south suburbs.
He got me Good and Plenty as well.
Oh, man.
In that bag, There was some golf stuff and a very, very sweet note and four
it was very nice
boxes of Good and Plenty.
That reminds me, I got some boxes of Good and Plenty at home. I gotta bring
what?
To you.
Yeah. Next time.
What do you mean? You just have them?
Mike and Ike's. You're getting Good and Plenty for Dan. Give me some Mike and Ike's.
They were in my fiance's aunt gave us like some Easter stuff, and neither of us really eat Good and Plenty. It's been sitting there for 3 weeks.
Oh,
so
bring
it's all
it.
Yours.
I don't care if it's stale. I don't mind crunching through year-old Good and Plenty if I have to.
Or some Jolly Joe's.
What's that?
You got
is
Mike
that
and
part
Ike's
of the Mike or... and Ike's universe?
Yeah.
Got any Mike
There's
and Ike's?
There's hot tamales.
Yeah.
No, I'll eat the Mike and Ike's.
The Jolly Joe's, I believe, are the grape ones.
Okay, because I don't know the whole Mike and Ike's universe.
Yeah.
But I know there's the...
The Red Hots?
Hot tamales.
Hot tamales, that's it. Right?
They're cinnamon.
Pulled today, hot tamale. And then Mike and Ike's and
Jolly Joe's.
Hi, I'm Jolly Joe. I taste like grape. Yep. Okay.
When did they come out with the Mike and Ike extended universe movies? Are those already out?
I mean, you got to do something because phase four was trash.
Shift to Mike and Ike's.
Is Jokic also the villain in that?
Kevin Feige just comes out and he's like, guys, listen, we're sorry about phase four. Mike and Ike's is now going to be in the Marvel MCU.
The lightning is coming.
And Gru is coming.
Yes, the lightning is coming. Good for him. He's so good at basketball.
He's great at it.
He's so good at basketball.
There were a lot of great moments in basketball last night. We don't have time to talk about it, though.
No.
Because there's weird moments going on with your Chicago Bears.
Why? If the left hand knows what the right hand is doing, why? Just from a purely a PR policy strategy, like when you're all sitting in a room and you have a calendar in front of you, like, all right, what are we doing and when? Say, in the week, 2 days, or the day, literally the day before?
Yeah.
You're about to draft the most important, you have the number one overall draft pick again.
You are the talk of the NFL for on-the-field stuff. You're the most important team in the draft for the on-the-field stuff. And that's the moment when you decide, you know what? Let's get back to the other stuff. I don't think it makes sense. It, like Mully said, it was weird because yesterday when I saw the story break, I'm like, that's not from the Bears. So I was like checking my inbox and I'm like, well, maybe I've been excommunicated. I think it's weird that it didn't come from the Bears. I think that it's strange that if they are going through with this thing tomorrow, that they're going through with this thing tomorrow. I think it's weird if, and there's a lot of ifs in here, so I apologize. If Channel 9's reporting is correct, that the mayor's going to be there. I think that's a huge mistake for him, considering that there's a dead police officer. Do you really want the optic of while that family is mourning, while the police department is mourning, do you really want the optic of you standing shoulder to shoulder with Kevin Warren on the lakefront talking about something that might not happen and is probably not going to happen?
I guess I've been around this too long that when the artist's renderings are up front, that leads me to believe you're selling me something.
Yes.
And I don't need to be sold anything right now.
And the idea of like, look over here, like you're a kitten of, well, we're going to give you these renderings and that's going to make you excited. If it comes to pass that the Bears have a domed stadium on the lakefront, and from a financial standpoint, it doesn't harm the citizens of Chicago or the state of Illinois badly, fine. But all of this feels like a shell game that everyone is participating in it, and I'm not sure why they're participating in it. Like, I keep thinking about this from the standpoint of the mayor's office. And I know that the mayor listens to this show. All you have to do is put out a statement. And you can do what you've been doing. Put out a statement and saying that you look forward to being in more conversations about infrastructure
And if it makes sense and the Bears stay in Chicago, then that's great for everybody.
Just sit chilly.
That's all you have to do.
Just sit chilly and let things happen around you. You don't have to be banging the drums and fanning the flames in the position that you're in.
I also think that some of the time, this is a little bit more political than it is sports, but it's the connecting tissue of sports. I think that politicians think that their constituency is dumb when it comes to sports. I think that they think that sports is a really easy way to try to move stuff through, and they don't give the voter enough credit for being able to see through what are clearly... Same thing happened with the previous mayor.
I was just going to say, she made the mistake of saying, well, if I wrap myself... Look, she could be a meatball with the Bears, and she knew enough that I can, much more than her predecessors, where she could be legitimate as a sports fan. And I think she overplayed whatever that meant as far as political capital.
Well, she thought that it was going to be red meat that Chicago voters were going to eat up. And she couldn't have been more wrong.
I was like, oh, okay, now you're doing this.
Because what it did is, in my opinion, it diminished her. It made her look like, you know, Lori from Saugeanash was calling in. Like,
your guy?
It diminished her as the leader of the city. And I don't, and I have been a proponent of the Bears in the city getting along because the previous mayors have not, and the Bears have been upset with what their relationship is with the city. If someone from the mayor's office were to ask me, and they won't, but they should, I would tell you that you're not putting the mayor in the best spot if you're not holding up at least a yellow sign of saying, Mr. Mayor, sir, considering maybe this is not the week to do this. You're still trying to figure out what happened to one of the city's police officers. Their family is grieving. You can't be at a photo op. You can't be at that photo op tomorrow. You know where your time might be better spent? With the family of the police officer. That might be a better choice. And just lay low. But I get it. Like, there's the draw of Kevin Warren is clearly a learned and practiced politician. Clearly.
That's why I say he's running for something.
He's running for the dollars. And God bless him for it. You don't have to go along with everything that he does. Or you can go along with it and keep your distance. That, to me, would be the prudent move. To just, they got it. And the fact that this wasn't on Bears' letterhead, that to me is concerning, because it's another one of those things where it makes me feel like, oh, there's a developer that wants to get their name out there that wants to help with this. And meanwhile, the people in Arlington Heights are like, okay.
We're still here.
You still own this piece of land that you bought for $200 million.
And you have that opportunity to not be a tenant.
Yes. The whole point was to not have a publicly owned facility because of some of the pitfalls of that. You don't get all of the stuff. You don't get control of the building. They can do Kanye's building a house on Soldier Field a week before, you know what I mean? Like, it's
we're canceling family night because they didn't water the grass.
Right. It's stuff like that where you get to do whatever you want. And now you're going to give that away? Why? When we come back, I want you, because we were talking about this a little bit in our pre-show. I want to talk about the idea of capital and liquidity when it comes to the McCaskies. And if this is playing any role and why this is starting to look differently. So let's do that. Bernstein's back. It's Bernstein and Holmes here on The Score.
Bernstein and Holmes. Middays 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
One good thing about Chicago, there's not a lot of options. There's a handful of them. We're still kind of running those to the ground. But if we're fortunate enough, if we're able, you know, to stay in Chicago, I would just say, you know, we need to make sure that it's as close to the lakefront, because I think that's what brings it all together. I always think about, you know, those money shots of Sunday night football, Monday night football, Thursday night football, hosting the Super Bowl. You know, I visualize the day that we win a Super Bowl in our stadium in Chicago. But having that view of the lake, of downtown, you know, of that beautiful city, I think we deserve to see and explore if that's a possibility.
Bears President Kevin Warren on WGN. Kevin Warren's done a lot since he's been here when it comes to creating new job titles, hiring people, promoting people, rearranging the office, and then commissioning people to write stories about him. When it comes to moving the needle on anything else, it's been a lot of posturing. It's been a lot of politics.
Yep.
And that is ongoing.
But that's part of the job. Like, I don't want to act like that's not a part of this. This is what he's supposed to do. We don't have to like it, though. And we don't have to like the style with which it's being done. Like, I get that. You have to do this stuff. The politicking, while, like, when we talk about it, it feels like we're discussing it in a negative fashion. We get it. We're both from here. We really understand how some of this stuff works.
And I understand what he's talking about, but if this is a domed stadium, so don't talk about views. You're inside.
Yep.
You might as well be in your friend's basement.
There's a wall.
You're inside.
And another wall.
It's a dome.
Unless it's a retractable dome, maybe.
For football?
He said they're not going to do that, though.
No. Oh.
Yeah, because he explained why it doesn't make sense financially, because you're talking about opening it up like four or five times maximum. So it doesn't make sense to do.
Yeah. So don't give me views and all that
stuff. I also think it's weird when he talks about like him being upset at the ranking of Chicago when it, who cares? Right. We all know how great this city is. And we, for the most part, don't need anyone to tell us outside of it how great it is.
Yeah, I don't need validation from TripAdvisor.
What I would prefer is people keep Chicago's name out their mouths on the negative end because they don't know. But I don't think you necessarily need, we're a business leader. Yeah, we're a business leader. That's probably never going to change. And it's definitely not going to change because, well, we want to build something so we can put cranes in the air. If you took a picture, if this would be one of the things I would say to Kevin Warren in response to him flipping out about that. From the time that you moved here and you live downtown, if we were to take a snapshot of what downtown looked like 6 years ago versus what it looks like now, you can't tell me that there haven't been cranes in the sky. The skyline has changed significantly over the last decade. So maybe that work is done for now. You don't have to, like, I get trying to be the vanguard. Oh, cranes in the sky. Get it? Shout out to Solange. I love this song. That's what we need. We need Solange to get into an elevator with somebody and give them the business down there.
I keep asking the question, why do you want to be a tenant? Why do you not want to own it? What Bears land? Why? And the answer may be that they're still trying to find the liquidity, the wherewithal, to make the capital investment they need to make in the land that they own.
Bears ownership is a little different than, like, their ownership structure is a little bit different than what we assume. Like, the idea of, well, Jerry Jones, like, you kind of know who has the stakes of ownership with Jerry Jones or other. With this thing, it's been broken down for multiple generations of shares in it. There have been, you and I have talked to members of that family that are like, man, I can't wait till we sell. There are plenty of that. So I wonder about that too. Does it have anything to do with, do you have enough liquid to make Bears Land happen? Because now, when we're reading the stories about this, now all of a sudden the NFL is like, oh yeah, well, we can loan you money too to make this whole thing happen in Chicago.
Don't tell Jerry Reinsdorf that. It's like, well, the NFL, they get money from the league. We don't get any of that.
Well, we'll get to him later on in the show.
This is until there are shovels in the ground at the lakefront, until they are actually building.
Which is going to be a thing because you're going to have a legal fight on your hand.
Is Friends of the Park going to be at this thing tomorrow?
I don't know. I bet they will be. I don't know if they're going to speak, but you're exchanging one battle, which is over taxes, which is pretty easily fixed. All you'd have to do is money. Like that's all you'd have to do is say we're going to pay it or figure out a reduced number on the taxes and pay that. With the lakefront, you're inheriting and you're asking for more problems. The zoning issue of it, Burnham's plan, the lakefront, the lack of space on the lakefront, Friends of the Park, city politics, state politics. I don't know why you'd want to do it, honestly. And then to get to like what you said, don't talk to me about views when you're going to build a dome.
You're building a television studio. That's what football stadiums are. Football stadiums are large television studios. And if you say you're going to plop down a television studio on public land,
and not own
valuable, gorgeous public land, and not own it, why? Why does that make sense? I still can't figure out why they think it makes sense.
It does not. We'll discuss this a little bit more. You ready to talk to Ian?
Hell yes.
Our guy, Ian Happ, will ask him about the Cubs' very interesting start to the season. We'll discuss that with him next. Stick around. It's Bernstein and Holmes here on The Score.
The talent that's here and the talent that is continuing to develop here. We obviously have some mainstay guys like Ian Happ.
Ian Happ, Cubs all-star outfielder.
Swinging a drive down the left field line in the corner. That ball is going to be a grand slam. It's a grand slam for Ian Happ.
Absolutely crushed that ball.
He's a good hitter who gets on base a lot.
Gold Glove Award winner.
Dives and makes a great catch in left center field. Ian Happ with a sensational diving catch.
Host of the Compound Podcast.
If I say something to a guy and like get upset, and I go back and look at the iPad and like, it's a strike. The next at bat when I go up there, I will say, that's my fault. I didn't see it well, that was a strike. Because there are definitely guys out there that just like are always saying that they're right and like leading the umpires astray. And I try to be like very honest.
Connect Roasters coffee enthusiast.
Here's a man that probably has 5 fresh pots a day. He's got an insatiable thirst for coffee.
Ian Happ with Bernstein and Holmes on 670 The Score.
Well, let's just get him healthy. That's our goal right now, just to make sure that this guy is 100% or close enough. Ian Happ is on Twitter at IHAP_1. Cubs outfielder joins us on the Score Hotline presented by Circa Sports Illinois. Download the Circa Sports app today. How you feeling?
I'm feeling good. Feeling good the last couple of days and hoping to be back out there today. I know it's a little gray and hopefully the rain stays away, but yeah, tough to watch baseball for a weekend. Not my favorite thing.
When you're coming back when it's hamstring stuff, how careful do you have to be on, like, maybe you do feel great one morning about overdoing it and then re-injuring it?
Yeah, you have to have a little bit of a governor on yourself, I think. You know, I felt really, really good to start the season. Was moving around really well and just end of a long road trip, hard surface in Arizona and kind of 2 10-inning games with a day game the next day. It's like, you know, you want to just be able to play the way you've always played and not think about it. And You know, there was no like specific incident or something that happened, but just some general tightness that led to some soreness that didn't feel normal. And so sometimes you have to put the good of the season above, you know, the good of a certain game or a weekend.
Still, it's disappointing to not have done better against one of the worst teams in baseball. And this has been a sort of a strange season, which you go on the road, you have a really strong, 5-4 West Coast road trip, a tough swing early, and then to come home and play kind of mid was a bit of a deflation.
Anything can happen in a 4-game series. I think that's the way 4-game series go. You know, you can walk out of there and win 3 or 4 games, or you could be 2-2, and that's, you're playing big league baseball players. They pitch it really well. You know, they got a good group of starters with good stuff, and their bullpen's really effective. So, you know, we put ourselves in good positions in all those games. Just that's baseball. Those guys are going to win. You know, they're going to win baseball games this year, and that's part of it. You know, we still wind blown in it regularly, wind blown in across and chilly and tough environment to score runs. And so, you know, we had a bunch of opportunities even on Sunday, the last game of the series, with some bases loaded opportunities and some early stuff against a really good pitcher who's been super effective this year. And, you know, sometimes those runs don't get cashed in. So, you know, all you can do is continue to put yourself in good positions and have good at bats. And when you look up at the end of the season, you're going to be in a good spot.
You've been teammates with Kyle Hendricks for a long time. How hard is it for you to see him struggle? And in Sunday's game, it wasn't like he got bombed. He seemed to just get peppered.
Yeah, I mean, you see it all the time. You know, it's not specific to Kyle. You see it all the time. It's, you know, it's early in the season. It's a small sample. You know, there's times when guys get hit hard or give up walks, and then there's times when guys get blooped around the field. And I think J-Mo, you know, said it really well about his start last year. Like, it just, everything was going wrong. You know, there would be times when there was, you know, 4 bloopers in a row that led to a run, and, you know, a couple hard hit balls after a couple bloopers, and you end up in putting runs on the board and, you know, frustrated. And that's part of the game. You know, I think we as a organization, as players, you know, everybody has all the confidence in the world in Kyle Hendricks and his ability and what he can do. And there were some really bright spots that start on Sunday, and him on the edges and that cut changeup working against righties. And, you know, I've played with him long enough to know that he is one of the best in the game at what he does, his consistency, his preparation, and he's going to be just fine. It's just early going.
The numbers on contact are down. Performance on contact in MLB, down. Homers less than 4% of the time. Slugging 507 on contact. This is numbers that look like they're from like 2013 or 2014. Homers are down, doubles are down, triples are down, singles are up. Do you notice anything that feels different from your, when you hit a ball, to the performance of where the, or to where the ball goes?
I can't say that, like, there's been a huge, it's tough to say, you know, when the ballparks that we've played in, the places that we've played, you know, we haven't played a bunch of warm weather games. Even, you know, San Diego and Seattle are both a little on the colder side. I can't say that, you know, Wrigley hasn't been super wind friendly, except for maybe 1 or 2 days so far. So I can't say that we've had like great atmospheres to know if the ball's flying perfect or not. But it's probably a little, is that like compared to overall data or compared to April?
This is a comp that I'm looking at with Joe Sheehan's numbers here. Just looking at overall offense based on full year stuff. And teams are averaging 4.3 runs a game in the low end of normal. This is not quite the dead ball 2022, but this is, there's a lot of outcomes. Like, this is not a small sample when it comes to just how the ball is doing off the bat.
Yeah, it's a good question. It's a good question. And I'm not sure, you know, as we get into some of the warmer months, if that picks up a little bit. And, you know, I know obviously from my experience at Wrigley, you know, to get some of that slug in and get the ball kind of flying a little bit better, you got to wait for the weather to warm up. But it's interesting. You know, I don't, it's different every year, right? And we can't look back until kind of June, July to know if things have significantly changed or not, but, you know, played in 18 and 22 with the balls different and played in 17 and 19 with the balls on the opposite end of the spectrum. And so it's just, it's hard to know until you get kind of deeper into the season.
Couple of theories here. Let me bounce both off of you, especially with doubles and triples. The average starting position of outfielders is deeper than ever.
Yep.
Outfielders are playing deeper. Is this something you have done consciously? Is this data-driven where they say, look, this is just smarter to play deeper?
Yeah, it's a data-driven decision. I mean, the deeper that you play, with the way that pitchers pitch now, with the everybody throwing as hard as they can with wipeout secondary stuff, like, it's very hard to string together three hits. It's very hard to put three singles together to score runs. And so the more that as an outfield, you can limit slug and put yourself in a position where you're forcing teams to hit three singles, the better chance you give your pitchers of not putting runs on the board. And so outfielders playing deeper, obviously with the shift, you know, the infielders can't go back anymore, but they're definitely smarter in the way that they're positioning themselves, giving themselves the best chance to collect the most number of ground balls for where a guy hits balls. And so, you know, all of our positioning work is done based on eliminating slug and putting yourself in the best position to catch the most balls of where that hitter sprays it. So, you know, all that stuff comes into effect in the limiting of slug.
All right, theory number two. Most offense comes against four-seam fastballs. We have never seen fewer four-seam fastballs based on pitch data.
Yeah, that's a trend that's been going on. I think just because of how good the secondary stuff is and guys don't have, you know, if it's a 2-0-3-1 count, guys aren't throwing fastballs or don't need to. And so you would probably have seen years ago 70-75% fastballs in those counts, and now it's probably more 50-50 mix on that stuff. And so even in those kind of leverage counts where you think you're going to get something to hit, you're not necessarily doing that. And there's more pitchers throughout the league who aren't giving in 3-2 or certain situations. You know, they're not throwing fastballs to make sure they don't walk guys. They're still throwing wipeout stuff. And so that's part of the change. But also guys are, the amount of guys that have five pitches instead of three, you know, three pitches where they're throwing a fastball, a breaking ball, and maybe a changeup, you know, it's a lot of guys have a five pitch mix where they're throwing, you know, a four seam, a two seam, a cutter, a slider, a sweeper, a curveball, changeup, a splitter, you know, the ability with the technology that's out there to get on and work on pitches and develop pitches that play off each other. Like it's crazy just how many pitches guys have now.
You were talking a little bit about how Wrigley is right now. It's been an interesting start to the season. Like Wrigley itself is unique in April or March anyway, but even I felt like on days when I thought for sure that the wind was blowing in from one direction, was actually blowing out to right field, but in from left. What goes into the conversations you guys have whether before the game and during the game on how the park is playing?
Yeah, I mean, generally you're checking it all the time as an outfielder just to make sure that you know kind of which way it's blowing. We've seen more left to right, which is, it's kind of happened over the last couple of years. We've seen more left to right winds. You know, generally the wind at Wrigley in the early going is straight in or kind of straight in from right, kind of off the lake. But we've seen a lot of kind of left to right early, either in or from left field heading to right field. And, you know, some of that colder weather coming from kind of the northwest will push that wind in. You know, when you get into the summer, you'll start to see kind of that more right to left wind coming from kind of the southeast. And so it'll be kind of right, left, across, maybe pushing a little bit out to left field. And then you'll get your days that we all dream of where it's blowing straight out. But we haven't had too many of that. And then we've had some wind switching kind of throughout the day. So as it gets colder or chillier, the wind comes, instead of left to right, comes kind of straight in off the lake, dead in from center. So you just got to stick with it and it'll swirl throughout the day.
And there are some guys on this team who can really launch. And the fact that we haven't seen, I was watching Canario's swing and just his swing path similar to what we've seen Morrell do with his hands. And it goes to show you, like you say, it's about slug. It is about getting that ball in the air over the infield and not hitting ground balls. And we haven't had a Wrigley day yet.
Yeah, I mean, Canario's got great bat speed. He swings the bat super hard. He's a really good hitter. And you saw that the one he hit out, and then the ability to kind of like that get that bloop single to right field in the middle of the rally on Sunday, I believe it was. And you know, that's just good bat path. You know, people say luck, or but when you can hit the ball where you miss the barrel and you're still kind of living over the infielder's heads, that's just really good bat path. And he did a great job in left field too, moving around out there and handling some really hard hit balls. And so, you know, that's not easy to do, especially sun and wind early in the game. And he did a great job out there.
Yeah, he had that one though early, that the Moises Alou play, I call it, where it's I got it. Oh, I had it the whole time. And that happens in left. And I know he hasn't played a lot of left, but when that thing just kind of starts to go on you and you realize at the last second, it has to be an awful feeling to know that you're going to need every last bit of your athleticism to keep that thing from ricocheting off the wall.
I mean, that's a backside. That's a lefty hitting the ball opposite field over 108 miles an hour on a line. And that you don't expect it. And when a guy backs the ball up like that and hits it that hard, that's kind of rising as it gets to you and moving away from you with that spin. You don't know if it's going to be true and stay really straight or if it's going to kind of go towards that left field corner a little bit. And so just a really good play to stay with that ball. It's so hard when a ball's hit at you at that velocity to tell kind of exactly how it's going to react. And so just to stay with it and use your athleticism and you know, bring that one down, huge, especially with runners on base in that spot.
When we last talked, you were cryptic. You were teasing something about something in the coffee empire. What might be happening? Any news?
We're not quite there yet. We're not quite there, but we're close. Okay. We're close. There's some very very exciting things coming up. But we do have we have cold brew kegs that are available for purchase. So reach out, contact us on that. If you're a business or you're looking for some cold brew kegs this summer to put out for employees or friends, let us know. But we do have some exciting stuff coming this summer, and we're close.
All right, Ian, we appreciate you, man. Get healthy, and we hope to see you back out there.
Thanks so much, guys.
You can check out the coffee and Connect Roasters and all the cool stuff they have going on. A cold brew keg, they can, you know, anytime they want to send one over. You know.
The next time we have Ian on, I'm a tea guy, but I need to start. I think I want to try experimenting with coffee. We'll see.
Well, we got your bottle of rum. We dropped that off for you today.
Yarr. Yeah, that was very nice. I'm just going to call him Mutton Chops with his Caleb Williams jersey for the Texas rum.
Mm-hmm. Texas rum.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes.
Why not? Steve Stone is going to talk White Sox.
And other things, probably, right?
Next.